Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Glad you're with me today. Happy to be back on the air. It's been a little while since I've been with you. Just decided that there was way too many things going on for me to not to go ahead and get involved, get a little 30-minute short in here, get back on the horse, plan on getting the regular show back on Sundays as a regular thing, too. Looking at revamping the show, trying to make some changes here and there, upping the quality, making some changes here and there. Looking forward to any feedback any of you regular listeners might have. Remember, you can go over to tapintothetruth.com and give me that feedback. Be happy to hear from you. But here's the thing. I mean, what is going on with our political world? It's like the emperor has had no clothes for a while now. We know that we've got a Manchurian candidate in the office. The occupier is exactly that. But it seems like we've got this issue with Hillary Clinton now. Nothing new. She's a criminal. She's been a criminal for a long time. Want to talk a little bit about what's the deal with all these missing emails, why she has her own personal email, the Obama administration lying about how they knew, when they knew, what they knew, and then coming out and admitting that they lied. It's all very, very suspicious, and it's all very much like the Democrats on the whole is ready to just throw Hillary under the bus. You know, and I don't think she was their favorite candidate for the presidency to begin with. Otherwise, I don't think you could have created Barack Hussein Obama, better known now as the occupier, and have somebody that would, from out of nowhere, beat the Clinton machine. So there's obviously an issue in play there. But we'll get into that a little more. But first, I wanted to talk about this sudden push by a group of leftists who have started a petition online to try and have the Republicans who wrote this letter to the Iranians, it was an open letter, want them charged with treason is what they want. I was coming across some different articles today, and as I saw some, I was looking at some liberal sites, I was looking at some conservative sites. There was always a certain level of aptitude when you're looking and reading these liberal sites, because they get all fired up about some of these things. And they were just trying to get the swell of activity as if somehow there's something terribly, terribly wrong with the Republicans sending this letter. And the idea is they want them charged with a violation of the Logan Act because, in their mind, the Republicans are just trying to undermine the president's authority. Well, how much authority does the president actually have? Well, there's some debate. There are certain types of agreements, international trade agreements, for example, that work really well that the president can enter into with relatively little effort, relatively little input from the Senate, okay? So there are certain things there. But when it comes to peace treaties, when it comes to international agreements, alliances, things like that, the president's hands are tied. They negotiate. The State Department goes in and they negotiate, but the Senate has their say too. And that's what this letter really said. But, you know, here's the deal. I mean, at this point, and I haven't got the most recent updated numbers, but by about, I guess it was about 4:30 was the last time I checked, more than 148,000 people had signed this petition wanting Republican senators charged with treason. Now, the definition of what they did may come close to sedition, but even then it's not, because their actions are in the best interest of the people and in the best interest of maintaining the republic, whereas the negotiations that are being carried forth by Senator Kerry, now Secretary of State Kerry, it's just absolutely not in the best interest of the American people or the people in the Middle East or our allies. That's why Benjamin Netanyahu was in the country last week. These people are still basically upset that Benjamin Netanyahu came and gave a speech in front of a joint session and all these other wonderful things. But here's the deal. Literally thousands of people have told the Obama administration that the Republican senators who wrote an open letter to Iran this week should be charged with treason. The Obama administration, of course, has got their little thing over at gov.com, at the government, whitehouse.gov, their little website, set up where you can do petitions. And somebody started this petition. And the way it works is that people submit petitions, and, of course, the White House promises to give an official response to those petitions within 30 days of them reaching the 100,000 signature mark. So you get 100,000 people to sign one of these signatures, and they have to give a response, even if the response is something as simple as no. We have no interest in doing this. We're not going to pursue it. You're wrong. No. Well, on Monday, a petition was submitted asking the administration to file charges against the 47 U.S. senators in violation of the Logan Act in attempting to undermine the nuclear argument. That petition is in response to an open letter that 47 GOP senators wrote that was essentially intended for Iran, which warned that Congress will play some role in the nuclear agreement that the Obama administration is trying to negotiate. And that much is legitimate. It's a true point. The letter led many Democrats to argue that Republicans were trying to undermine Obama's efforts. Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course they were. Somebody needs to be. These efforts are not only incredibly asinine, but they're dangerous. They go beyond being dangerous. These negotiations are going to speed Iran to having nuclear weapons. And if you think that we can give them nuclear weapons to avoid fighting a war, which several of these liberals do, they're sadly mistaken. In fact, that article I was telling you about earlier that I read at the liberal site was constantly talking about how this is a last-ditch effort to avoid war. Were we really on the verge of war with Iran? You certainly would have believed it if you read this article. But here's the thing. What most people don't realize is that there is such a thing as the Logan Act. A lot of folks that listen to this show probably have already heard about it and probably know quite a bit about it. It was first enacted back in 1799, so it's been on the books for a long time. But the basic premise, the long and the short, the layman's terms, it says that unauthorized people cannot negotiate with foreign governments. You can't do anything without being given the green light stamped by either the State Department or the White House directly to go and try and influence foreign powers. That's what it says, in a nutshell. Now, does this reach that level? I don't know. The State Department said this week that it had no legal opinion of whether the letter violated the Logan Act or not. But by Wednesday morning, more than 148,000 people thought that charges should be filed. It makes you wonder what these people are thinking. But that means that the White House should respond at some point to the petition, since the 100,000 threshold got covered. And not only did it cross it, but it crossed it pretty quickly. Now, on March the 9th, that's just a few days ago, 47 U.S. senators committed a treasonous offense when they decided to violate the Logan Act of 1799, which forbids unauthorized citizens from negotiating with foreign governments. This is what the petition says. A violation of the Logan Act is a felony, which is true, punishable under federal law with imprisonment up to 3 years. It's not immediately clear whether the GOP letter actually amounts to a negotiation. The letter was not delivered directly to Iran, and instead, it's in the form of an open letter that purports to instruct Iran about how the Constitution gives Congress some power to shape foreign affairs. Now, Secretary John Kerry said earlier today, being Wednesday, that he thinks that the letter was quite stunning and actually ignored the fact that the administration does have the authority to enter into some agreements without Congress. Now, the long and short is that these people are, well, you know, they're confused. It was an open letter. That's what it was. And it was sent to inform the world that a group of freshman senators, people that we recently sent there in the last election to go and represent the people of this country and to go and try and save what's left of our republic, to restore law and order when it comes to how our government operates, was sending a strong message that that's what they're going to do. But did they violate a law to do it? Did they violate the Logan Act? I think based on the structure of the letter and how it was delivered, it doesn't tantamount to a violation. But I'm not a lawyer. All right, I'm going to make that clear right now. If you listen to the show, you know, I have opinion based on my understanding. And based on my understanding, I don't think this letter, not only does it not reach the level of being a negotiation, but I don't think it was directly sent to any one member of the government. It wasn't directly sent to the Iranian government, period. So I don't think it constitutes a violation. But it's very true that this was designed to undermine these negotiations, to undercut it, to try and put an end to it. And somebody needs to, before we do end up in some type of binding resolution where we're going to just allow the Iranian government to arm themselves with nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons in the hands of the Iranian government is bad. It's bad for Israel. It is bad for any neighboring nation that stands up to Iran, and it's bad for us. We're doing this, this negotiation, which thankfully has come to an end, but this negotiation that was going on while they were conducting war games, mocking up, trying to blow up what they had dressed up as American warships. In the minds of the Iranians, we are targets. Now, not all Iranians. In the minds of the mullahs, in the minds of the ayatollahs, we are targets. We are the big Satan. We are who they come after they've finished killing all the Jews. And maybe you think it's okay that they have every intention of killing all the Jews. It's a stated goal. They've said it. They're on record. It's what they plan on doing. These are dangerous people, folks. Dangerous people. But is this a violation of the law? I don't think so. But we'll see. We're going to watch. We're going to see how this plays out. I think it's very interesting. Now, violation of the law clearly in the case of Hillary Clinton and this email scandal. We're going to shift gears into this real quick. Hillary Clinton, at this point we know, created her own private server, created her own private email account. Nothing wrong with that. But then she used it as both personal and business for the State Department in all of her transactions. That also, while it gets iffy, everybody would prefer you have the two separate, still is not a violation in and of itself. The violation comes in. The problem with where the law files on this is the fact that every single official email is a document that belongs to the people. Everybody get that? It belongs to the people. Every piece of official business, every memo, every email, every scribbled note, if it's done in the service of the country, if it's done as part of your work, whether you're in the State Department or over at the Justice Department or you're the chef at the White House, everything you do has to be saved and archived. That's the law. It has to be archived for future reference. It has to be made available because it all belongs to the people. That's our information. We have the right to be able to go back and look at these and say, this was a stroke of genius, or here's actually where the tide changed, because sometimes these little things that have tantamount moments in history seem like such simple and small events at the time. We have the need and the right to be made aware of it. And if something's classified, guess what? After so much time passes, even classified documents become declassified. Usually about as much time to pass so that if you might actually lynch somebody that was involved with what happened, you're no longer going to want to go lynch them, either because it doesn't matter anymore or because they've passed on. One or the other. That's pretty little safeguard put in place. But, you know, some things are secret. Some things should be classified. Some things should not be made available to the general public right off the bat. But nothing should be held back. There should be no secrets as far as that the American public never gets access to. There's some things that we should have to wait a little while. The need for secrecy, for national security, I get that. It's there. It's real. But Hillary Clinton, now she came out, she gave her little excuse, she gave her little speech, her press conference today, and I don't think anybody's buying it. The Obama administration has already come out with two different stories. First, they tried to deny it. Somebody please tell me why Barack Obama never seems to know what's going on in his administration. He finds out everything the same time we do when he sees it on the news or reads it in the paper. And I'm not the first person to say that. But it is very annoying. And I know you've got to be thinking the same thing. Got to be. How are you not? I mean, even if you're a supporter of this guy, how are you not wondering, what do you do all day during your security briefings? I've heard people ask the question, what, you never got an email from the lady while you were doing business with her? While you were supposed to be the president and she was supposed to be the secretary of state? How about during at least the whole Benghazi thing while that was going? Uh-oh, everybody, Tim said Benghazi. He must be a troublemaker. Yeah, sorry, I brought up the Benghazi word, which should be hanging around Hillary's neck like a freaking vampire bat. That should be disqualifying her. There should not be a liberal on the planet, at least not a true liberal, a classic liberal, that can even support the Democratic Party these days. Now, there are a bunch of these so-called progressives who, well, they're doing what we need them to do. They're chipping away at that Constitution. They're taking the jackhammer to it, and they're busting it up in big pieces now, and we almost have an imperial presidency now, and people actually think that executive orders have the power of law, which, by the way, they don't. Unless the legislature has specifically granted authority in an area, the president has no authority to issue executive orders. He has the authority to issue executive orders as far as policy within his administration, executive orders as to how he wants things run within the departments that answer to the executive branch. That is it. That is the extent of the authority of an executive order. All these other executive actions, and, you know, that's part of why the so-called progressives have taken to calling them executive actions instead of calling them executive orders. Because enough people have been out there clamoring and yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs, like myself, some other folks that I know, that executive orders have no legal authority. But an executive action, now that's different. And you're supposed to believe that it's different. And you're supposed to believe that the president has all this power, because we've been told for decades that the president of the United States is the most powerful man in the Western world. And by rights, when he's an actual honest-to-goodness leader, he is. But let's get back. Easy. I can't help myself. I've been away for a while, and getting on the Obama soapbox is so easy to do. But this is about Hillary. But what I'm seeing, what it's most interesting, Hillary is probably going to get a slap on the wrist by the time this is all said and done. Trey Gowdy's already been out there, and he is some bulldog. Any folks? I love this guy. Trey Gowdy should be president someday. I don't know if he's ready. I'm not ready for him to leave his job, his role in the House of Representatives right now, because he's doing a bang-up job there. But I would love to see this man in the White House someday. I like him as well as I do Scott Walker. I like him better than I do Ted Cruz. And this is just me saying my humble opinion. I know everybody has their own, and I really don't want to get into the who's going to be president or presidential candidates just yet. We'll do that a little later on a Sunday when we've got full phone banks lined up and folks calling in, and we'll take some opinions and get the whole nine on all that, because I'd love to know what you guys think about it. But in the long run, Hillary is going to most likely just get another slap on the wrist, because there's one thing that the Clintons are good at. It's getting out of legal trouble. I don't know how they manage to keep doing it. I think there's a lot of bribery involved. There's a lot of fear for what happens when you oppose the political machine, which mostly is on Hillary's side of things. I mean, Rodham's a member of the Bilderberger Group, for crying out loud. So, I mean, there's where the clout came from. That's where Bill got his political career. He was probably just going to be a backwoods Southern lawyer somewhere in a little office setting up in Arkansas, but it hadn't been for the Rodham power and clout that helped move him into political office. I say probably, because I can't say for sure, but, you know, just looking at him and judging not by the cover, but by the actions we've seen to this point, but some serious pull somewhere and a lot of connections from the outside, I don't feel it gets much further than just being one of those characters out of a John Grisham novel. Not a very flattering one. But at any rate, Hillary probably still finds a way to get out of this, but this seems to be sticking. The liberals, the folks on the left, are attacking and attacking and attacking. Excuse me. The New York Times has come after her. The New York Times. These are the people that ordinarily circle the wagons and put up the fences and you can't get to her. There's defensive perimeters established. And no matter what facts show up, we will ignore them and make fun of one of your candidates. That's what they do. That's what they've been doing. That's what they always do. But not this time. I think, as I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, that a lot of folks on the left, she's made as many enemies as she has allegiances. I think most of her allies are there simply for fear of what could have happened in the past. I think a lot of them would sell her out in a heartbeat, and I think we're seeing that happening right now. I think Barack Obama's actually having a field day with this. There's no doubt, no question that Barack did not like Hillary, that the job as Secretary of State was a little bribe to get her to go ahead and step aside rather than take the nominating convention into insanity. And I think somebody else is going to have to arise from the Democratic areas. Some candidate is going to have to step up, because I don't think the Democrats on the whole, certainly not the political machine that is the Democratic Party, is interested whatsoever in having this woman be their nominee. I mean, I still really don't think for a second Barack Obama could have become the nominee ahead of Hillary if there wasn't a large and strong contingency within the party that did not want her to be the nominee. She was too well connected, had too much money to spend. She has the experience of being the first lady. She got to be a senator for New York for a little while. That's a ton of experience, isn't it? She was not in most politics. I'm going to run it off. Relatively unscarred, but I think she does walk away with it severely emotionally distraught, because I do think that based on the way that the liberal media is attacking on this, they're just trying to sweep her out of the way. They're making room for an Elizabeth Warren or somebody else to come up out of the back. I mean, Elizabeth Warren's name keeps popping up. Excuse me. I would love for her to be the nominee, because I could run for president and beat Elizabeth Warren. I could. And anybody interested in seeing that, we can go over, do some crowdfunding, and I will run. I will put my name in that. I will even seek the Democratic nomination. I probably would get all kinds of death threats if I did that. It's just so obvious that the Democrats don't want her. Or at least that's the way it looks. I mean, maybe they're trying to get ahead of this and get it out and so that they can swoop back and say, what an amazing political comeback. I don't know. But we'll talk about that a little more in depth, too, in upcoming episodes. We've got longer broadcast on Sunday. I just wanted to get some quick hits in here, get some fine points, get some feedback from y'all. I know I've been getting several emails for quite a while. Where's your show at? Where's your show at? Where's your show at? Well, we're back. We're working on trying to get stuff finished. I wanted to take a little break after the midterm elections, and then I had a major crash with my back, and we're and it's been crazy. But here's it. Yeah. There's whether or not go back Republicans for Bolivia, whether or not Hillary Clinton faces the issues on the even. It's our problems. Respect. Respect is something that is sorely missing in the American culture today. You know, you still see certain folks very respectful of others, but you look around and whether you're watching a television commercial that's making fun of how a totally incompetent dad is, or a television commercial where a little kid gets to run the show, or whether you're watching a movie where everybody communicates back and forth with each other with profanity and act like that's a cool thing. Regardless of all that, at the base root, there's no respect for one another. We see people that refuse to take care of other people's property, or refuse to acknowledge that property actually belongs to someone else by stealing. The whole thing with the letters to Iran, that comes from the Republicans feeling like they had to stand up and they had to be heard, they had to be counted. Now, that's part of the job. But this comes from the Democrats saying all kinds of childish things about Benjamin Netanyahu because they were mad that John Boehner invited him in the first place. Now, that's a step outside of standard protocol, yeah, but it is not without precedent. It has happened before, and Democrats have done it as well as Republicans. So that's not something new. Violation to the Logan Act. I would say things that Nancy Pelosi and some of the Democrats were doing when they went to go meet with Assad of Syria while W was still president comes a heck of a lot closer than writing an open letter to violating the Logan Act. Certainly could make a strong case with Ted Kennedy when he had meetings with members of the Soviet Union Parliament. The bottom line is with these same 150,000-plus signatures that they're getting to go after these Republicans, would they also support going after Nancy Pelosi? Probably not. But where's the respect? We have no respect for the office of president. And when I say that, that sounds a little harsh, like I'm attacking conservatives. But I'm also saying the same thing of the man who's currently occupying it. The man currently occupying the office has no respect for the office of president, or he would actually take it seriously and try to do a better job. I will have a much, much more elongated and a much better focused speech about respect and how we need to improve that in America in the next broadcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me thank you very much for joining me tonight. And remember, as I always say at the end of the show, don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Take a little time, do your own research, use your brain, and always be prepared to dig just a little bit if you want to tap into the truth. Thanks, everybody, and we'll be back again soon.
come back, you know my name. I don't think I can say all I need to say. With the time left counting down by the day, it won't go by.